Good morning. Well, all y'all come on in. You know, we didn't know if you were out sick or sinning and not wishing illness on anyone. We prayed that you were sinning. Happy Father's Day to everybody. And I want everybody who has ever had a father or been one to stand. Come on, you can do it. Give each other a round of applause. This is interactive today. We are glad you're here. Okay, sit down. We want to welcome back Alex. He's been away at the Naval Academy. Come on up, Alex. I want you to give us a few words about what it was like and how you endured and if you survived. Is that shirt navy blue? Pretty good from a guy who is colorblind. All right.
I'd like to first of all say I did not die, which was very tremendous, because after that first day when I got woke up at 5:30, I was like, well, this is it. But I do appreciate all you guys' support. I know Walter sent my family an email, which was very heartwarming when I was there. Definitely helped me get through. We had a Navy SEAL do one of our workouts. That was a rough morning, just to put it frankly to all you guys. But just a little rundown of what I did the first day. The first week I was at Annapolis doing summer seminar, which is kind of a summer program for candidates who want to go for the Naval Academy class of 2028. And we did workouts. We did classroom stuff. I had different classrooms like political science, martial arts. We had nuclear engineering and a bunch of other physics, a bunch of stuff that was kind of tailored towards the different jobs that you can do in the Navy. And we had, I'd also like to say the food was really good. And I don't know why, but if I had to go there and, you know, struggle a bit, I would know that I have three good meals every day, which is a solid, solid business adventure. But besides that, it was kind of a culminating event that kind of put everything in perspective of what the Naval Academy would maybe look like, even though they told us it's nothing like it, because they were way too nice to us. Except for one 30-minute session when they're like, "Hey guys, we're gonna yell at you, and you're gonna do push-ups." And let me tell you, when there's like 30, they're called detailers, but you can imagine them like drill instructors at this point. When there's like 30 of them yelling at you in a hallway, it gets very hot. And I lost my voice. You can ask my mom. When I got off the plane, I was very rattly. I actually loved it. It was awesome. I'm trying to think about anything else. I feel like I had something else to say, but I can't remember. The church. See, this is what she's good for. I did get to go to the Naval Academy church service at the Naval Academy Chapel. I was a little spoiled. They did spoil me. You guys do a very good job here, but It's a different experience, but I did enjoy it. The same song that we sung when I was baptized, they sing there, which was a very heartwarming experience to be able to listen to, very personal. And a lot of the kids there who go to it was they kind of split it up into Catholic and Protestant, and all my friends who I met there go to like those massive like rock concert churches. It was very traditional, so they were very surprised. And I was like, guys, this is very normal for me. They were not prepared. When we did communion, they were like, they thought it was a Catholic communion, but I was like, no. Besides that, I had a good week. I met a lot of really cool people. They were kind of split up into squads, platoons, companies, and everyone from my squad I'm really close with, they all came from all parts of the country, from California, Colorado, Florida, Ohio, Indiana, Brooklyn. So it was. I got to meet a lot of new people. I got to experience something that was really awesome. And when that was over, I had a two-day, I'm going to say layover. I think layover is the best way to describe it. Until I left again and went all the way down to Valdosta for Boys State and to the American Legion. They put together an election process where you create like a 51st state. And I was able to be the Attorney General. I actually didn't do much because I guess the kids there are very law-abiding citizens. Which was very boring. I did arrest the assistant dean though, which was very fun. and put him in our jail, and we cranked up the temperature like 85 degrees. But overall, I enjoyed my 2 weeks being gone, but I'm very happy to be home and very happy to be here. Thank all of you guys for the support, and I think that's it. Thank you.
I don't think we need a sermon today after that. And 30 drill instructors screaming at you all at once. You need to go to a session meeting. But the only thing I can say in response to good food at the Naval Academy is sea rations, not SEA. All right, a couple of other announcements we have in our life together as church. We have Happy Juneteenth will be tomorrow. I didn't realize, I'm sorry to say, it's federal holiday, and so we will be open tomorrow. Maybe next year we will actually get with the times. But I understand that the church was well represented Saturday night at the Juneteenth celebration. Do you have anything to add to that, Alice?
We bought 36 and we used them all.
Great. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I'm proud that we could do that, and I'm glad to hear that we had such a good presence there. Session is following worship today, so if your taste in entertainment runs to that kind of thing, you are certainly invited to come and join us for that exciting time of administration and speculation. So. I think that's got it. Are there any other announcements today in our life together as church? Walter, by the way, did a great class this morning on the things that divide us, and we made a list, and it was substantial. And so we're going to work through all of those problems. Walter will have all the answers next week. So let us come and worship the Lord together. The peace of Christ be with you.
please stand for the call to worship? Did you hear that?
Hear what?
The laughter, the sound of delighted surprise. Did you hear it?
No, we didn't hear anything like that. From where did it come?
I'm not sure, but I'm guessing Sarah, the wife of Abraham.
Why is she laughing? She's been dead for 5,000 years.
Well, I guess when you have a baby at nearly 100 years old, the laughter goes on for eternity.
With joy in our hearts and laughter on our lips, let us worship God.
And let us pray. You send us, O Lord, to places of which we know not. You call us to include our faith in our baggage and little else. We are nervous when we have to travel light. It makes us feel out of control and desperate for our creature comforts. But you have promised to be with us and provide for all our true needs. Help us to consistently look for you on our road of faith and to trust your providence in all our days. Amen. You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, praying first in silence. And together we pray. We are frightened by the call of faith, O Lord. We want to be in control of our lives, charting our own courses and declaring our own destinies. Help us to surrender to your will, even when we have a hard time trusting it. Forgive our trepidation and amplify the faith we already have. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Be seated. We'll have our time with the children, and let's see who all we have here today. Hey, Catherine, are you coming up for the children's sermon?
No, I'm going to put the mic down so we can hear Priscilla.
Oh, okay.
Don't you hate short jokes? Oh, Miss Vicky is 4'10 and a half. Don't forget the half, so. Well, we were talking last week about, oh, you know what I forgot to do? Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, good morning.
We're a little disjointed. Let's try again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, that's much better. Okay.
Good morning.
Yeah. There's an echo in here somewhere. Well, we were talking last week about Abraham and Sarah and how God told them to go to a new place. They didn't know where it was. They didn't even know if there might be a McDonald's there. It was just some new place out there somewhere in God's creation. And so they went, and God promised them that they would... You want to see the sky? Well, just give me a few minutes. Today, God has already promised them a place to live. And today in our scripture, he's going to promise them children. Now, can you think of a promise that you've ever made? Did you promise to be good while your parents were away? Hadn't happened yet, huh? Okay. What is a promise? Can you think of what a promise might be? I've got a ring on my finger. This is called my marriage band. And It has been on my finger. You have to stay with the promises that you make. And it means you're going to honor those promises. Like this wedding brand, which has been on my finger for a little over 45 years. That's longer than you've been alive. And even when I have had to have surgery, they won't take it off because I tell them no. I say, you can tape it up, but you can't take it off. And so that's how seriously I take those promises that I make. So God promises Abraham and Sarah that they're going to have children. Now, there's only one problem with that. Abraham and Sarah have been waiting a long time. They've got some land, but it's not really where they're going to stay. And they don't have any children because, well, they're getting a little old. Abraham was almost 100. Do you know anybody who's 100? I have known very few people who made it. And Sarah wasn't much younger. And it's not usual that people who are very old get to have babies. Talk to your parents about all of that kind of stuff. Only moms are allowed to have babies. Okay, there might be somebody who would argue with that, but we'll just say for the point of discussion today, only moms get to have babies. And the mom was going to be Sarah. And it was so, so odd that they both laughed. Sarah was inside the tent and she heard it and she laughed. But you know what? God makes promises and God keeps promises. And so Sarah did have a baby, and it was quite the point of discussion around the camp, I'm sure. We'll hear more about promises next week, okay? But for right now, let's remember promises are meant to be kept, and God always keeps his promises. Let's pray together. Holy God, we thank you that you are a God who promises us so much. And you promise those things to us because you love us. Help us to be patient with your promises because they don't always happen when we want them to, but they happen when you want them to, and that makes all the difference. Through Jesus our Lord, amen. I'll see you next Sunday.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 18. Listen for God's word. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?' At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh, for she was afraid." He said, "Oh yes, you did laugh." Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 5. Listen for God's word. "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us." This is the word of the Lord.
Just a delight, and truly you are appreciated. Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from the gospel according to St. Matthew. We are reading from the ninth chapter, verses 35 through 10, and then verse 23. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals, or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy, and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Surely I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, I'm sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues, and you'll be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for you are to say what will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. We hear your word read, O Lord, and now proclaimed. Open, we pray, the ears of our hearts and our souls, that we may respond according to your most holy will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, our gospel lesson for today could hardly be called a pep rally. If you consider everything that Jesus says, it's not a promise of happy times and parties. It's kind of a terrifying prophecy of exclusion, of condemnation. It's a terrifying prophecy of betrayal by family and by friends. And if you are a student of history, you know that these words of Jesus did, in fact, come true on many, many occasions. But such is the nature of being the people of God. We don't really know what is coming, and so we try to be a little bit prepared for everything. I had recently been ordained in what used to be called Orange Presbytery up in Greensboro, North Carolina. And we had some conflicts going on, kind of like we have in the church at all times. And one pastor was just completely disillusioned, disappointed, and angry at his congregation. And so following the service one Sunday, in which he berated them for their manifold sins and shortcomings, he walked out of the sanctuary and took off his shoes and knocked the dust off of them and told them, "May it so be unto them as on the day of Sodom and Gomorrah." One of the happier times of Orange Presbytery. Let's not dwell too much on our gospel lesson for today, because hellfire and damnation just are not the note, just are not a note on the trumpet God gave me to play. My favorite passage of many, many is the one of Abraham and Sarah and the promise of the joy of a child. Abraham and Sarah have been on the road for a long time. It has been the long and winding road of, was it the Beatles who sang that? The long winding road? I don't know. You remember the song. Let's all sing it together. No, listen. Maybe next week with the choir. So they're settled in under the oaks of Mamre, under these great spreading trees. It's a good place to camp. There's water there. There is plenty of room for the flocks and the herds. And Abraham and Sarah sit by the campfire at night, and they remember the promises that God gave them of the land upon which they sat, and more land. And they were happy with the land. But God had also promised them descendants as the stars of the skies and the sands of the desert. And that just hadn't happened. And it is into this somewhat patient waiting one afternoon late that three visitors show up. Many scholars have said, well, this is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because there's three of them. Some people jump to those conclusions without really investigating things. I'm not so sure. But at that same time, there was a theory of Godhead, meaning a panoply of gods. And so it was thought, and especially since in Genesis God says, let us make humankind after ourselves, we have morphed into this monotheism, and we're happy where we are. So don't read too much into this. The three strangers come to the tent, the encampment, and Abraham demonstrates the Middle Eastern code of hospitality, which is a survival mechanism among people in those days. You depended upon hospitality to make it through the desert wastes. And so Abraham sees them coming, and he rushes out to greet them, and he says, "Lords, if I found favor in your sight, come and let me get a little bread and a little water for you to refresh yourselves, and then you can pass on your way." And then he prepares a feast. Did you not catch the humor in that piece of scripture? He rushes back into the tent and he tells Sarah, get three measures of the finest flour and knead it and make bread. He's telling Sarah how to cook, okay? And then he goes out and he gets a tender young lamb and he prepares it, and they're roasting the lamb, and they've got all these different things that go along as side dishes. And there is literally a feast in the camp. A little water, a little bread. The guests thoroughly enjoy it. And then comes this cryptic saying, I'm going to be back in due season, and your wife Sarah will have had a child. It was hilarious. It was an absolute hoot. so funny that Sarah is inside the tent and kind of... You know how 100-year-old women laugh. Maybe you will. And they hear her. What is she laughing at? She's laughing at the idea of the baby being born in the geriatric unit of Hamilton Memorial and Medicare is picking up the tab. It is a scream. And they ask, why did Sarah laugh? Everybody knows why Sarah laughed. Why are they asking that question? It's because they want to put Sarah on the spot in a gentle, loving way, the God-like way. Put Sarah a bit on the spot. Why did you laugh? And you can kind of see their faces as they're asking that question. In my mind's eye and in my soul's eye, those are faces beaming with love and compassion. Sarah, why did you laugh? I didn't laugh. Oh, yes, you did. Ah, one of the most refreshing stories in all of Scripture, especially in light of the fact that when they did come back in due season, Sarah had indeed had a child. Indeed, nothing is impossible for God. The problem we run into is that sometimes between when we receive the promise of God and we receive the realization of the promise of God, we have to travel a little ways. Like in our text from Romans today, suffering produces endurance, endurance produces hope, hope produces character. No, suffering, I always have a hard time with Romans 5. Suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope, hope does not disappoint. Sometimes we got to go down a path where we're going to experience all of that. And perhaps that is what Jesus is alluding to in our gospel lesson for today. But the real message here, I think, out of all of these three readings, is how we are to pack for the journey. I used to pack real light. It was a point of pride for me that I could go on a 2-week trip with an overnight bag. I knew how to pack that puppy. I had one of those vacuum things that sucks all the air out of a plastic package. And you can pack for a wedding if you have one of those things. You can just about squeeze a king-size mattress into an overnight bag if you know what you're doing. I don't travel light anymore. I have no pride anymore. I have very little shame. If I'm going overnight somewhere, I got one of those rolling trudging things that follows you behind, because I not only have to pack clothes and spares and extra shoes, I've got to pack braces, CPAP, all that cough drops. It is a major undertaking for me to go anywhere overnight. Vicki and I laugh about it. Ken's going on an overnight trip. Bring in the U-Haul camper. But Jesus says to the disciples, the apostles, who are, I'm pretty sure they're much younger than I am, don't take 2 tunics. Don't take a spare set of sandals. Don't take any money with you. That's the one I would have a hard time with. I don't go out anywhere without my American Express. Thank you very much. So I have no copper or silver or gold. I've just got that little green card. That's all I need. Jesus says, pack light for the journey. And what he's talking about, I think, is not clothes. I think he's talking about the contents of our souls. I think part of the problem with people of faith these days is that we have packed too heavily of our expectations, our agendas, our preconceived notions, our thoughts about how it has to be. Excuse me. We live in a world of exploding pluralism. And every day it's a challenge to find out where truth might lie. Every day it is harder and harder to think about how things like AI, or as I like to call it, artificial disintelligence, are going to shape our lives. And they will. We are no longer in control of things. And guess what? We never really were. My boys talk about my growing up in the dark ages when there were only two pronouns, his'n and hern. And now we are challenged with that. Don't pack too much stuff, Jesus says. Accept the world as it is given to you. Accept the hospitality of the day. And if you find you can't do it, then maybe it's time to get off the road for a while and stop and think. Well, here we are. It's Father's Day, and I'm thinking back to my father and my grandfather, neither of whom were what anybody would call bastions of flexibility. They had their own minds made up. Daddy said, "You need to go into business like me." I said, "I don't feel called to go into business. I want to go into the Presbyterian ministry." He said, "You'll die of starvation." Obviously not. Every Christmas, he would give me two or three Brooks Brothers button-down shirts and matching ties, occasionally, if I'd been very good, sport coat. And he said, if he'd gone into business like I told you to, you could afford these things for yourself. I said, I don't need to, because you give them to me every Christmas. I'm the best-dressed cat at the Presbytery meetings. We finally sorted all that out before he died. Yes, don't pack too much. On this holiday weekend, when we celebrate the end of slavery for our brothers and our sisters, don't pack too much. Don't bring too many expectations or agendas. Sit back and appreciate God's world as God gives it to us, and all of our children shall rejoice. Let us pray. Sometimes, Lord, we need to laugh like Sarah at the incredulity of life, and also at the miracles in which you break in to show us how you are already active and alive, far beyond our expectations and agendas, and certainly far beyond our control. So help us to dance in the morning, and help us to love all the day long. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And together let us declare that which we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Children of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Eternal God, giver of all good gifts, forgive us when we take your gifts and weaponize them at the destruction of our brothers and our sisters. Help us to be stewards of what you have given, not that we may use them against others, but that we may share the wealth which you have already provided. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you have given us everything that we need. You have taught us how to live together. You have shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ, how human life can and should be lived. Forgive our neglect of the lesson. Forgive our exploitation of the example. And help us, O Lord, to learn again the simple lessons of the faith. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we live in a world which does not pay its bills by the month and sometimes not by the lifetime. There are marginalized people who need our help and seek our aid. Help us, O Lord, to give them lives of dignity and meaning and worth. Lord, in your mercy. God. Lord, we mark this weekend the end of the era of slavery in our nation. Help us to remember, though, that slavery has many, many forms. Wherever there is injustice or suffering or marginalization, help us to rise up as your people, even in the midst of inconvenience and personal danger. Help us, O Lord, to be the emancipators of your children's souls. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, remember, we are always in need of your instruction. And so help us to powerfully pray that prayer which your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us receive our tithes and our offerings as we present them to the Lord. Thank you. Lord, we receive a portion of that which you first entrusted to us. Multiply these gifts by your grace that your kingdom may be expanded and strengthen our hearts in the giving. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It is time for true confessions now. When you were a child and sang this hymn at church, how many of us got that last refrain, all other ground is stinking sand, and our parents never heard us say it, or at least they didn't acknowledge it because they had done the same thing with their parents. Laugh. Go out from this place with laughter, with peace, with only light provisions to get you through, because that's all you really need. Go through depending on the love of the Lord for all you have and all you are, because when the final analysis comes, that's all that matters. And so go forth. In the name of the Father who created us, the Son who came down to be among us, and the grace of the Holy Spirit, which is sufficient for us all. Amen.
Oh.
we do sing, we got our kids stuck in the book. So. We'll try to keep them up.